Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually.
Oh, yeah. And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. You can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is the Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
And welcome to Almost Famous, the OGs, with your hosts, the OGs, Trista Sutter. And me, Bob Guinea. Welcome to our show this week. I just want to say something, Trista. Last week, I loved it because we talked all about you, all about your show. And, you know, and I even thought a few times, I'm like, gosh, you know, Trista, I don't understand why she's like, you know, didn't want us to watch it. Wasn't. And so then this week, I so feel your pain right now, my friend. And I am so sorry. So sorry that I was like, right? Well, come on, Trista, have some fun with this. Because I didn't have any fun watching myself.
It is so cringy. It's like when you hear your voice on a voicemail or any interview, you know, when you first started doing stuff in the media. Well, you were a singer, so maybe that doesn't affect you. But I feel like I hated listening to me. I hated watching myself and all the faces I made and what I said. And I'm so glad that you finally understand. Since last week, I mean, it hasn't been a long time, but we got to watch Bob's season, and now we get to pick it apart like we did mine last week.
So I got to tell you this. So I've been very insulated, right? Because, you know, when my season first aired for the premiere episode, they had like this party thing that we did for it, right? And we were all together for that. And it was a lot of talking, and I don't really remember hearing myself that much. And I really enjoyed it then way more than this time when I had to hear myself. And first of all, I don't know if do I sound like that? Is that what I really sound like when I talk? And then do I really giggle all the time incessantly for no reason? Like I was watching it going, and then what the hell was going on with my hair? Like it literally, I had this big like curly Q section that hung down and I'm like, and then I also have to tell you this part. People, you know, when I would do all the interviews after being on your season, and people would always say, oh, yeah, Funny Bob. We love Funny Bob. I never heard myself called Fat Bob until I watched the show last night. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Wait, remind me. When did that? Did you call yourself Fat Bob?
I said it all the time. I would always go, is that a fat joke? Oh, is that this? Is that
that's
that?
What I thought.
But,
you know,
but it was so funny because Chris Harrison in one of his intros for me was like, you know, and, you know, the America responded in just crazy format. Right. At one point, I'm like, they're selling here this awfully hard. Yeah, I'm sorry, you know. And he's like, you know, and I mean, he was Fat Bob and now he's lean and mean, loving Bob. I'm like, what?
Oh,
so I'm going to have to call Harrison about that, too. And
yeah, talk to let's get him on little, the show next.
Give him a little chat him up. But it was uncomfortable as hell. So I know what you mean. I was just going, why would I say that? Why did I do that? You know?
I know. Oh,
brutal. And my memory was so different. So different.
Yeah. Was it?
Well, because, you know, this might be a terrible thing to admit right now, but I've never watched the season myself.
That's not a terrible thing to admit, I don't think.
Since the season. Like, I remember, you know.
And you just said you watched it at a party? So there were a bunch of people around. Yes.
Well, I remember one of my favorite memories, and it did pop up last night when I was watching the episode. One of the favorite things that I said, and thankfully I was with Andrew Firestone when I said this, or when we both watched it, because I don't even remember saying it, but I was like pouring out some wine to my family at the dinner table. And I'm like, and this is from the Guinea Stone Vineyards. Right. And I remember sitting with Andrew, we were in New York, and he looked at me, he goes, really, bro? And I love Andrew. So I was like, dude, I don't even remember saying that. And so that popped up last night. And I thought that was pretty funny. But other than that, I was incredibly uncomfortable. Wow.
I know. I feel your pain. I do. It is not like it was, especially for me, obviously, in how it ended up. It was one of the best times of my life because I met Ryan, but it was so cringy. I hated watching it back. So tell us, how did you feel? Like, obviously we went from my season where we were good friends. We had a connection, but obviously I feel like our connection was and still is great friends.
Absolutely.
And so you went from that experience and you had the experience of having all the cameras in your face and, you know, all of that to then being the lead. And when you said, I don't like hurting people's feelings. Do you remember I cried the first night of my, I felt the exact same way, especially the first night, because I was like, I don't even know these guys and I'm sending them home, you know, based on maybe one conversation, if that.
Maybe.
So how did you feel? Maybe, exactly. Yeah. So how did you feel going into it?
Well, I remember you and I talked, obviously, when they, you know, I think you might remember this, but when they first asked me to be a bachelor, I was kind of like, no, I don't think, I think I'm okay, you know? And yeah. I really loved being, and I used to say it all the time, I was like, I was the lovable loser from Trista's season. This is kind of fun. You know, everywhere I go, they're like, oh my God, we love you, you know? It's like, I can't do anything wrong, you know? But then, you know, then you start thinking about it, like, what if I would miss this opportunity to meet someone that potentially could be my soulmate, you know? And obviously the show worked out differently for me than it did for you, but I definitely met some really amazing women. And I hate to even use the word amazing in any aspect of my life anymore, because we use it so much on the show. But the biggest concern for me was to be, I hate hurting people's feelings. And and I think I kind of numbed myself to it a little bit over the years. Like I would make fun of it and I'd go, oh yeah, you could have a monkey handing out flowers and the girls would cry. That, you know, that made me feel better about myself having to send someone home because, but in truth, it was like, you know, watching the show last night, I even thought to myself, I'm like, God, I wish I would have known all the nice things that these women said about me before they showed up because I would have maybe, you know, because I didn't get to talk to everyone. In fact, we're going to have a guest on the show today that I don't even think I got to talk to that night. And it's pretty crazy because, you know, you don't realize what amazing people you might miss out on meeting, even to make friends with necessarily, you know, or love or whatever will come from it. But I was super bummed, you know, to be the bachelor in that situation because I remember thinking there's nothing anyone's done wrong here. And they're going to go home thinking that they didn't do something right enough, even if it weren't, even if they didn't feel anything for me necessarily, just to remain on the show or to get to have that experience. And I just felt terrible. And I mean, I did throughout the entire season, like every time a rose ceremony came up, I was less excited, which is probably a terrible thing to say, but I was less excited about the flowers I was giving out. Or I shouldn't say less, but I was probably equally as excited about the flowers I was giving out as I was really upset and sad about the ones I wasn't giving out.
Oh, yeah. I know that. I totally understand where you're coming from there. It is definitely a hard balance, I feel like, for the leads. And especially, I feel like, okay, so my season, I think probably the demographic of people who watch the show is a way bigger number of women, right? So the men, especially, okay, so on my show, the men are going to come on the show and be the bachelors, if you will, for the bachelorette. But a lot of them, because it had just started, may not have ever seen the show or even heard of it, including Ryan. But your season, holy cow, these women came in like infatuated with you. They were like gunning for you. I mean, especially one of our guests who's going to be on coming up really soon. I'm excited to talk to her. but wow, I mean, that I think was different in that they were really excited. So the pressure, I think, was even greater for you because they were really expecting to, you know, formulate this intense relationship.
Immediate, too. Like it was, it was gonna
immediate.
Be boom, you know. And yeah, you know, I'll never forget as the first limo was pulling up. And, you know, you're already nervous enough as it is.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you saw this when we were watching it, but they started chanting my name from inside the limo. And I could hear
it.
As it turned the corner. And part of me was like, oh my God, this is awesome. And then as the door opened, I felt so much pressure. I remember going like, oh my God, what if I'm not good enough for them? You know, like, what if they look like get out of the car and they're like, oh, you know, or if I'm talking to them and they're like, oh, I expected so much more, you know, or whatever, because at that point I had been kind of over, I'd been oversaturated at that point, you know, where I had been on Oprah a bunch in between your show and mine. And it was like, you know, they saw just like clips of me. And snippets, you know, and well, if Oprah loves him, he must be great. You know, it was kind of like I heard a couple people say that. And but I remember thinking to myself, like, what if I'm not good enough? You know, and they're like, so they have these expectations. What if I can't fulfill them? And up until that point, I had zero self-doubt. And then like literally the first door of the limo opens, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, and I started thinking, overthinking, you know.
Oh, I tend to do that a lot in my life. Do you think, was Chris a big help when it came to that self-doubt?
Big time.
And
I mean, you know, I mean, there's a few, there's several moments in the show that, you know, because as you know, going through the experience the first time, you do create friendships with, even though you're not supposed to, you know, necessarily create friendships with the producers and with the host and everything else, you do.
Oh, I did.
And, you know, Chris is one of those guys that he was there and he was a great sounding board. He had been there already at that point. I was what the fourth bachelor, but your show had gone too. So this was technically the fifth season.
Yeah.
And you know, he had great advice for me. You know, he's like, don't get in your own head. Just relax.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. You know, and he He's like, let yourself be yourself, because that's what everyone is here for. They like you. They like who you are. You know, he gave me a lot of confidence in those moments where I think I may not have been feeling as confident as I would have liked to have portrayed.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think all of us do it. Every lead, I can't imagine that anyone has not had any self-doubt going in.
Yeah.
But that had to have been hard, because the girls were just coming in hot. You know, they were really, really jonesing for some Bob Guinea. Okay, so how did you feel about your mom being there? I loved the fact that they brought your mom. I know you were horrified, probably.
Yeah.
You can talk to us about that. But I think they should do it again. I think they need to do that to, like, change things up, because I thought it was great that, you know, the girls then were probably on their best behavior.
Yeah.
You know, once she showed up, and they wanted to impress her maybe more than you even.
More.
So how did you feel when your mom showed up?
Well, you know, I think I had made it pretty clear when I was on your season, and then also in the subsequent interviews thereafter, that, you know, I'm a very big family person. You know, like, I love my family, and I love, you know, and now that I've built my own family, I love being closer to my family. I relocated back to Michigan to be closer to my mom and dad, because they're getting up there in years. And then I lost my dad last year, so I thank God that I did that.
I'm so sorry. But
it was one of those things, having my mom come on, you know, everyone kind of knew I was a mama's boy. And, you know, here she comes. And, you know, I mean, Nora was in her element. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
When she came in, she's like, you know, the belle of the ball. Hello, everyone. You know, and I was like watching her work the room, and I'm just like, oh. And part of me, like, was super excited about it, because, you know, it gave people an opportunity to get a little more of a glimpse into who I really am, and not just what they had seen on TV and stuff. And so that was really awesome. And then it was actually kind of comforting too, you know, because I like to tease my mom quite a bit. And so to have my mom there and be able to kind of tease with her, and, you know, just kind of watch her, like, I could tell right away that she was gravitating to certain people, and you know it was,
did that
my
help?
Mom to a degree also was like, some people, you know, here's where it kind of worked against me, was my mom would talk to some people that I never got to talk to, and so my mom would be like, oh, I really like so and so, and I'm like, I didn't even get to talk to them other than when I first met them. And so, you know, and I think, like you said, you know, knowing that it was me before anyone got there, that they kind of came in, and it was like, we sort of, it was almost like we picked up like everyone that was there that night. It was like our third date. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't have to go through a lot of the pleasantries of, you know, explaining who I am and all that kind of stuff. It was like, boom, we were at this next level. And
True.
So I really did sincerely have, I mean, I would say probably 18 of the 25 women that I talked to, I really was like, oh my God, I can't send any of them home. Like, what am I going to do? I like all of them. And, you know, and so I was really in that pickle of, you know, I will say this. I knew right when the twins got out of the car, I'm like, I'm either keeping them both or cutting them both. There's I am not playing this game.
I knew can't they were even imagine. Right.
I know. I was like, this is not happening. So that was that was right away. And then I never actually really got to talk to them either. And then, you know, there were quite a few people that I felt like, man, I would have liked to have more time with them, you know, like, and get to know them better. Like, I remember Shay, the firefighter that was
I was going to ask you about her.
Yeah,
I was literally going to ask you if you had any regrets about her, because I was like, she's so cute and what a great job. Yeah, you did.
I really did. Do you know, I actually, so this is a little behind the scenes for everyone. I actually went to the producers and I was like, man, I'm having second thoughts. I sent this girl Shay home, who was a firefighter. I never got to talk to her. But I was trying to get to her all night, and I kept going in different directions. And I'm like, what if we, you know, what if we brought her back and, like, said, you know, hey, she can come back. And I go, and then, like, that would be like the, you know, and they were like, that's not how the show works. We're not doing that. You know, it was very rigid when you and I did it.
Right.
Years later,
you're
they'd
true.
Be like, awesome, I mean, idea. Right. We'll have her crash a date. You know, like they do that now all the time. But back then it wasn't going to happen. And I thought that way about her. And I actually thought that way about one of our guests who will be on in just a few minutes, who I hardly got to talk to. But I remember thinking, like, you know, I feel like if I could bring back one or two people, those would be the ones. And, you know, but they didn't give me that opportunity. So, you know, you kind of
go with what
you're given. Yeah.
Because you're right. They were very rigid. I remember explaining the show to people and being like, okay, so you start with 25 guys and then you go down to 15 and then it's 10 and then it's, you know, and it was very like regimented or rigid. Yeah. And now it's like you have no idea how many roses they're going to give, how many people are going to stay until they're like, okay, well, we have two more roses left or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think they were like, this is it. Know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I've heard the comment more than once when Chris was hosting. And then I did watch the first episode when Jesse was hosting too. And it was kind of like, well, and when the girl stepped in too, when Tayshia and Caitlin stepped in, it was kind of like, well, it's your show. You know, how many roses do you want tonight? We weren't doing that. You know, we were, like you said, very regimented. I remember when I left on your season with Jamie, when we didn't get the rose that night, I believe you went, was that from 8-10? It was from 8 to 4. Yeah, like the next date was the hometown dates. And I remember thinking, you know, wow, I would love Trista to meet my family and it would be amazing, you know? But then I got so nervous, you know, because I was divorced and I was like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel right now. Like, am I the right guy for her? You know? And so it was so awesome when you're at that point in the show. Now it's not that awesome when you're in your situation or me watching myself in that situation last night and remembering, oh right. God, just flashing back to that time on the show, how completely stressed out I was. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, no,
it's impossible to go into that thing and take it lightly. If someone were to go into that thing and take it lightly, they are a complete idiot because you are really playing with people's emotions and feelings and, oh, man,
and you know it's
so
not going to work if they're taking it lightly. But you have to really have your head in the game and know who you are, know what you're looking for, and be serious about it and be in the moment. So, yeah, if you're taking it lightly, it is most definitely not going to work. It will end up, even though it doesn't end up. You know, I just saw there have been these interviews because it's like the 20th anniversary coming up. The news media has been covering it and they've been interviewing, you know, the people, the successful relationships from the show. And I remember reading recently about the percentage, you know, of how many people work out compared to how many people or relationships don't from Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, all of them. Yeah. And, you know, the percentage is pretty low, but I want to turn around and say, but you know what? So is the percentage in real life. Like, how many people do you actually date in your dating life until you meet the person that you spend the rest of your life with?
Well, especially if you count, like, casual dates, you know, friends setting you up and you're bowling. You know, there's, like, a million different types of interactions you can have with people. And you're right. I mean, I get it. You're right. The numbers aren't great. But the... So there's this saying about, I don't want to offend anyone, but a friend of mine who's a girl said this saying to me once about Anchorage, Alaska. And I love Anchorage, Alaska for all you Alaskans who might be tuning in today. But I remember saying to her one night, and she's a real pretty girl and she works there in Anchorage. And I was like, God, and she's single, you know? And I was like, this doesn't make sense to me. Like, you're so pretty and you're so successful. I mean, do you not want to be in a relationship? Because that makes sense if that's the case, but... And like everywhere we go, there's like 90 guys to one girl. And she goes, oh, yeah, that's very right. That's very true. The odds are good. And the goods are odd. And I thought it was so funny. I've never heard that saying before. And so it just really struck me as funny. But I started thinking about it like you said, you know, like the relationships there are a few relationships that seem to go like work out and where they get married and everything. But other than one, there haven't been any. Knock on wood, of those relationships that haven't stayed together. So, you know, those relationships have really stood the test of time from the show too. And I think, I think there's definitely a formula for that. I think it's a mental formula that the couples that get together at the end have to be on completely lockstep with to understand, you know, we got to protect this thing and we don't care, you know, we're not going to do this, this, and this, we're going to do this, right? And, you know, that's a big thing. And I think it's something to be very proud of because there aren't a ton of them that come out and stand the test of time. And yourselves, Sean and Catherine. And you're right. Like expanding the shows really kind of helped that. Like, you know, Jaden Tanner, you know, I mean, there's a lot of those relationships that came off of different variations of the show, too.
Yeah. No, I agree. I feel very lucky, obviously, that I met Ryan and we have been able to be successful. But I think a lot of things go into making a relationship successful and, you know, we have our off days, as does everybody. We have our great days. And I think it's just a matter of, you know, all of the things that they talk about in every single self-help marriage book, relationship book there is, just, you know, forgiveness and friendship and trust and communication and all the core things, you know, like they really, it's what you do. We've always said that it's what you do with your relationship after the show that matters, because yes, they introduced us and we are very grateful for that. But after the show, we've put in a lot of hard work and dedication. It completely is on you. So, and sometimes just one person isn't, they realize that they're not ready, or they realize that they learned something about the other person that is not in sync with what they're looking for. Whatever happens. I mean, life happens. You go back to work and the work stress and the friend stress and the family stress.
Let's not kid ourselves. Coming off of a show like this where your private jet's everywhere, right?
Right.
You know, you're taking the private jet everywhere you want to go. You're, you know, flying into a volcano and in a helicopter.
Right.
You're doing all this great stuff. And then it's like, okay, well, my car's been in the shop for 2 weeks.
Right.
And, you know,
I'm going back to my grand.
I'm going back to my studio apartment or whatever. You know, there is a change that comes from that. And even though, I mean, you know, like I was watching the show last night, just kind of playing it back in my mind how I was so like floored with the look of the mansion, right? When I like walked up to it. And you remember the mansion I'm talking about. It's not the cool one that everyone sees nowadays. And I remember going, oh my God, this place is awesome. And then I remember having to ask if we could clean the pool so I could swim in it, because it was like so green with algae. And they were like, yeah, it might take a day or two, you know? And then my room, I mean, Andrew Firestone and I used to laugh about the room that we had, because we had the same room, you know, when we filmed our different shows. And he's like, isn't it weird that the closet is like a curtain? Like you're in this, you know, million dollar house. And it's like, yeah, no doubt. And then, like, the kitchen, you know, the sink didn't work. You're like, oh, maybe we could. They're like, yo, you use the sink right here in the bathroom off the side. I'm like, what? You know, it was just kind of crazy. So I just thought, I don't know. It's so funny, you know, looking back on it and, you know, remembering that whole thing. So.
Okay. So I am really interested to get to our first guest, because she is one that you didn't have a lot of time with. But yet you have said that you reconnected with her later in life. I'll let you tell that story.
Yes.
But let's take a break and then we'll bring on our first guest.
Sounds great.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm really excited to be able to talk to Julie Smith, who actually is a pro in the field now. She'll probably be interviewing us by the time this conversation starts.
So.
But Julie, welcome. And say hi. Say hi to your ex-boyfriend, Bob King.
Hi, Julie.
Bobby. How are you, darling?
I am great. You look beautiful as always.
Thank you. I'm on my, You're I'm, welcome. I'm on a break. from I'm at work right now, so yes. I snuck away.
Well, thank you for sneaking away.
Of course.
Thank you.
I know you're probably delivering all the pressing news and weather and traffic and everything else that you do.
All the things.
So I was telling this story about when we were talking about bringing on guests from our season. And I said, you know, I want to bring on someone who, I said, we have the most unique relationship of most people I know from this whole franchise, especially if they were on the same season together.
Right.
Which was, Julie was on my season, and she was someone who I hardly got to talk to the first night.
Yeah.
I think you talked to my mom, actually, more than you talked to
me. For a minute, probably, yeah.
I didn't get to talk to you hardly at all. And I don't know if you know this part, but I know I've told you this, but there was a point in what would have been the next, I guess, theoretically the next episode. But there was a point where I went to the producers and I said, you know, if I could have a golden rose or something, like I'd love to. And I thought about it. I'm like, I'd like to bring back Julie and Shay because I never got to talk to either one. Shay was the firefighter. And I'm like, I never got to talk to them very much, but I found them both attractive. And the 30 seconds that I got to speak to each of them, I was like having a nice conversation. And and Julie, you know, Julie and I, obviously, she went home the first night. We didn't get to spend any more time together. And then randomly, a few years later, I'm at the Kentucky Derby, which has become an annual thing. And one of the first people I'm sitting there with is Julie Smith. And Julie's from Louisville, and Julie is a, you know, she's always done the red carpet stuff there. She does a ton of interviews there. She's been on a couple other TV shows there before she relocated, which I'll let her tell her own story there. But she became one of my favorite people in the world. And I love our friendship. I love who you are, and I love how our friendship has grown over 20 years to be, you know, I mean, we actually might be, next to Tristan Ryan, the longest relationship to come out of the National. I don't know.
That's a good point. I never thought about it that way, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
I didn't either until I just said that. But I remember Julie came up to me one year. We knew this story, but I don't think the newspapers or anything knew it. And Julie came up to me one year with a rose. Remember?
Hold on. So, I had it. I think I know what you're talking about. You're talking about it was at a gifting suite, right?
And we got all those photos.
But here's what before that even. I don't know if you remember, but the very first time after the whole Bachelor and a few years later at the Derby, the first time we even spoke, reconnected, and really got introduced properly, we were actually at the track at Churchill Downs, and I forget what hubbub was going on. But for those who don't know, the Kentucky Derby is also called the Run for the Roses. The winning horse gets a huge, beautiful rose garland. So if you go to Louisville, anywhere you are, there's just a giant bouquet of red roses everywhere. So they're all over the place. So the first time we met, actually, Bob just yanks one of them out of one of these decorations, and he walks up behind me. He said, "I think I owe you this."
Yes, I do remember
that's
that.
The
actually,
first time we ever spoke.
That is the first time. I loved it, and it was true. Because you know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think we've proven you and I, we've always gotten along great, and it's just such a bummer we didn't get to meet. But that's a prime example of, you know, Tristan and I were talking about some of the pressures you feel when you're the bachelor person, like when she is the bachelorette, me as the bachelor, is like, oh my god, what if I miss that person? What if I didn't get to talk to the person that's the right person? You know. And it's crazy because you go through that experience and you literally live with so much self-doubt, especially in the early episodes because you don't know anyone, right? It's like,
well, and it was season four. So not only was it episode one, but the whole thing was still so new. And, you know, I feel like somebody can go on that show now and they have so much content to research.
Yeah.
You know, the most research I did was to watch the previous season to see what to pack to wear. Really, that was the
right. Thing. No, you know? So how was your experience on the show? Did you tell us about your experience on the show?
Well, and Bob, we've told these stories 100 times, but sometimes something new may pop up. But for me, it was definitely one of those, I literally tripped and fell into it. They, at the time, I don't know how long they did this, but you know, they always had people from across the country sending in. At that time, Bob, during our season, it was VHS tapes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Some people watching have no idea what I'm talking about.
They're like, VHS.
Right. Who? But I didn't do that. But they had all that. But they used to take something called the Love Bus around the country. Were you all aware of this?
No.
I knew that they went to different places, but I didn't know it had a name. The Love Bus, for real?
There was a giant tricked out like van And these, do you all remember Duran Ophir? I think is how you say his name.
No.
He was,
I remember Duran.
Yeah, he was one of the casting guys. And long story short, they drove this thing around the country. And what they told me was they wanted to, when they came to Louisville, Kentucky, they had started to try to get a little more into middle America and the South. Mm-hmm. They had exhausted the beach towns and the big cities, and they wanted, quote unquote, more real. Not to say that others aren't, but that's what they were getting at. But anyway,
yeah.
I stumbled into it. I wasn't going to this giant cattle call. I was out celebrating a birthday with a friend, and those guys were at the same bar having a drink. And so many women had clamored around them when they found out who they were. They said, hey, let's turn the lights on and turn the cameras on now and start doing some interviews.
Oh my gosh.
So that's,
I actually, you know what? I do remember you telling me that, yeah, that they did that when you were out. And that is crazy. That is so funny.
I'm convinced that what sort of, I guess, grabbed the producers and is because I wasn't there to audition or to answer the right questions. I was celebrating a birthday. So I was a good two glasses of wine in by the time they put the camera on me.
Right. And that's a fun, which, Julie. That's
Yeah. Which I think is what they thought they were going to continue to get throughout the show.
Right. So sad they didn't. So did Bob send you home? And I'm sorry, Bob, I know this probably breaks your heart, but he sent you home the first night, right?
He did. And he's right. We barely got to talk. I remember walking down some little pathway and da-da-da before they send somebody in.
I was going to say someone interrupted us. Yeah, I remember.
Am I allowed to spill beans here? Is that okay?
Yes, oh, yeah. Spill away.
We're way past our contract.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, thank you. Exactly. Pull that thing back up again. But yeah, they definitely are coming up. Have you talked to Bob yet? No, not yet. He's talking to someone. Well, go interrupt that. I said, don't really want to do that. That's not what I would normally do. And they nudge and they said, well, okay, you know, it's on you. You might, you know, that kind of thing. So someone came in, interrupted us. But I just remember, I mean, I was having a great time. The little cocktail party, the girls were so great. Kelly Jo's coming on after me. I spent 50% of my time laughing at her. She just, I mean, just listening to her laugh made me laugh. So I was having a ball.
The best. Yeah.
But Bob was just a flash. Like, I barely saw him. And I did, I think, our episode one, you catch me, something really cheesy. I think I said, your mom asked me, how do I like the Midwest? And I said something about being a wimp in the cold, but I can handle it.
Yes, I remember. Yes, what? Right.
I think that's a great answer. That's a great answer.
It is. It's what I would have said.
It's the truth, right.
Julie, I did I think you might have gone out the night before partying because your voice was a little scratchy.
Oh, man. I didn't. So you've seen that link that just went out, didn't you?
No, you told me about it, that Lindsay put that out there, but Trista and I, we got a little summary to watch, you know, just to remind ourselves. And your voice sounds totally different.
I was a mess. I have good, very good point. I don't know at that time, but very likely. I mean, we had been, but they have us on lockdown, you know, basically a quarantine in the hotel.
Sure.
So I know it wasn't
but
the night before.
Not that they wouldn't have brought you wine if you asked.
Oh,
you
I definitely
know?
Had room service. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Couple bottles.
Sure. Yeah. I was really hoarse though. Yeah, that's when I watched it back, I went, what was wrong with me? But, you know, that could have been left over from a few days prior in Louisville because I had the time and energy to be a responsible adult during the week of my full-time job. And
of course,
I still had time and energy on the weekend.
Yeah.
So what does your life look like now? You're obviously, you're a TV host.
Yeah. And that didn't happen for a few years later. So at the time I think they had sales representative down, which I was. I was in pharmaceutical sales at the time that we filmed The Bachelor. And a few years later, things just very slowly, it was like a slow drip. So you go back home, of course, and everybody's very excited. It's the girl that was on The Bachelor and I'm still very, not weirded out, but it was just, I was like, if they only knew how normal this, I mean, yeah, I was on The Bachelor, but outside of that, you and I are exactly the same, but it was fun because I enjoyed people so much. So I loved chatting it up with new people and that went on for a while. And then, so I was asked to be a guest on a local talk show to promote a charity event. I think it was a different one than Bob and I met at, but I went on that show as a guest and had a blast. And again, I'm in sales at the time, but it was one of those things. People always ask me, have you ever considered news or hosting? And I said, no, that wasn't my, you know, what I studied. And this host calls me back a week later and says, have you ever thought about doing this? And I said, all right, what's going on here? There's something I need to look into. And before I knew it, I was his co-host on a live 1-hour talk show. No experience. I mean, no problem talking, clearly.
But then you were doing the red carpet interviews and everything else. And then, you know, Julie's going to sell this short, but she really is a go-getter and she put together her stuff and started networking. And but it was always pretty organic. And then she ended up landing a huge job. I mean, you had to relocate and everything.
Yeah, I spent 3 years out in LA and didn't even know until halfway through my time there that Bob lived down. I mean, we were friends at this point. I just didn't know where in LA.
We would see each other every year in Louisville at the Derby, and then then we find out we were like literally 3 miles away from each other in LA.
Never got together
in LA.
Yeah. That's what you call busy lives. I was like,
and my wife loves Julie, so like she would have loved for us to get together. You know, it's just
tell Jess hello, by the way, and congratulations to both of you. I can go down that rabbit hole. I'll give you a call later to talk about all that. But I
thank you so much.
Oh, I've seen the pictures and just
thanks. He's a cutie. Both
guys deserve it.
Thank you, doll. We love you. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thanks for talking to us.
Of course.
You know, Julie Smith, the golden rose that got away. You know, that's what
thanks, Julie.
But it's trade that for every year now in Louisville, Kentucky.
That's right. That's right. Love you, Jules.
Trista, love you. Great to meet you, Trista.
Nice to meet you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Kisses to Kelly Jo.
You got it.
Yeah.
Bye bye. Isn't she great? Bye. Oh my God.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Now we saw each other, I think, the first year after the show at Derby.
Yeah.
And then I might have gone another time, so maybe two times, but gosh, I need to get back there. I know how
you
much
really
fun
do.
That
it's
is
so
and I know how much you love
fun.
It.
Well, it falls on my birthday every year, so it's like a milestone for me and
natural.
You know, started this group of friends which Julie is a part of, and we just started, you know, spending this time together, and it's become like a family. And so
I love it.
Yeah, it's so nice. So
that's
it's
great.
Been a lot of fun over the years. And obviously, you know, The Bachelor helped create a really wonderful friendship there. So isn't that nice?
That's true. Yes.
What keeps baby skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to help keep your baby's skin dry and healthy. We have been a Pampers family since the start with Dawson. It takes you a few months of experimentation to figure out what really works, and for us, Pampers really works. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. All that so important. Try Swaddlers with the new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So like how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah.
or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. One guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Okay, so next, I'm so excited to talk to her. It's been a while. We're friends on Facebook still. I think we connected at one of those, when a reunion or something. But I'm so excited. She mentioned Kelly Jo, and If you all go back and watch Bob's first episode, Kelly Jo is not hard to distinguish. She's the one with the laugh. There she is. Oh my God, you're getting your hair done.
She's getting her hair done. She's like, I'll do this, but I'm not going to cancel my appointment.
No, I have a best friend's wedding where I have to look really good, you guys. So
you
this
already look great. I'm
you
loving
are,
that.
You look amazing. So good to see you guys.
Gosh, I cannot believe you have foils in your hair. Of course you have foils in your hair.
Awesome. So good.
Hey, you want me? I show up. Look at me.
That's right. Look at this. So Kelly Jo, Julie Smith was just on with us, and she was sending her love.
I love her so much.
And Kelly, so yesterday I reached out to Kelly Jo, and we're, you know, just kind of chatting, and Kelly Jo's like, well, listen, I mean, I'll come on, but I got a hair appointment. And and I'm like, well, then take your cell phone. Don't take your laptop. It'd be too cumbersome. She's like, you got it.
Yes. And did you tell anyone else how you came up on my phone?
I did not. I was going to save that for you.
Tell me.
This is so funny, you guys. So talk about OG kind of stuff. He messages me and he's like, Kelly Jo, it's Bob. And I was like, what? His name came up as Sarah B. Guinea Montes, like full on pseudonym that I probably was trying to hide back in the day if he texts me late night. No joke.
That is hysterical. What's Montes for?
It's almost very Bridgerton, I guess. Yes. But I don't know why Montes. I think because I used to work at a Montessori back then. I have no idea.
Okay. I have
no, honestly, no clue. But why would I call
that
you Sarah?
That is so funny.
I know.
And then it was Sarah, and it didn't even have an H. I was Sarah without an H. And I'm like,
no.
I think I would be Sarah with an H. But
you
I
would?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
You look like
this.
You look like you'd have an H, maybe.
I feel like I have an H. You know, just a little extra.
Ridiculous.
You guys,
but this
is too much.
If we communicated, it was now through social media, and I didn't even remember having his cell phone.
Yeah.
That is
I know,
so
it probably
funny.
Was very random. I mean, because we've talked a couple times over the years, and it's always been great, but it's always, you're right, it's always been through Facebook or Instagram or whatever. So that
I
is so
know
funny.
That you were
so
still
wait,
in
what I
phone.
Need to know is, since you have his phone number in there and you have like a fake name for him, were you guys talking after the show, like when you were with Estella? Bob?
No. I mean, I think we connected. I don't think so. I mean, I don't recall that.
I think
that.
We chatted. I remember chatting.
Well, actually,
right when
you
were with
you
Estella.
Me, though, the number you have for me is not the number I had then.
Oh, that's weird. Well, but okay. So during our season, how we had to call each other, Ryan and I, they gave us a number to call and then it patched us through. So it was a fake number. It like they were so scared that
did you guys have code names, Trista? Because we had code
names. Of course
names.
We did. Oh, yes, we had code names.
Well, yours was Sarah. So.
Yeah, yours was Sarah.
I was Sarah B. Montes, apparently. Yeah, because that wasn't my phone number back then. So I didn't have that phone number.
I bet it was a number that the producers gave you that it would patch you through or whatever to
I wonder
to connect.
Yeah,
I remember talking to Bob right after when they had originally cast me as the Bachelorette.
Yes.
And you were like, Kel, you should do it. It's worth it. And I was like, it's worth it. They're not even gonna pay me. And you were like, all right, we need to have the discussion. I remember you helping me through like the thought process, but then I think they did like a demo, a demographic, and they did a poll and they didn't believe that a 23-year-old could carry into having a relationship. So that's when they cast Meredith.
Yeah.
And you guys were friends. It looked like, so when you watch it, we watched this first episode, just to
which, by the way, my hair, and make Kelly Jo, my hair looks bananas.
mine
what the
too.
Hell is going on?
Even though mine looks crazy now, mine matched yours, Bob. I think that's why
we
kind of paired it together.
There was
we had
a lot
like the curly Jerry curl.
Yeah, and it's and by the way, mine wasn't an Ogilvy home perm. That's all Natch. Mm-hmm. That was all, you know.
I mean, you can see the frizz going on right here. So it's still rocking.
Girlfriend, I got some.
Kelly Jo and I on a humid day was not good for anyone. No.
So when I watched the show, I had actually forgotten that Meredith was on your season, Bob. And then it all clicked. But you see you and Meredith together a lot. Were you guys friends like after the show? And how did you feel about her becoming the Bachelorette?
So I loved Meredith. She was my go-to. Early on in the show, they did this crazy psychology thing where we had to vote who was most likely to be with Bob and who was most likely not to be, which was actually terrible. There was tears and I was like, what is happening? Like, we were all getting along and then all of a sudden it was just this like gong show. And I remember putting the narrative drama.
That's why. Yeah.
And of course, because we all got along and they're like, we got to stir this up. So Meredith was, I think, on everyone's list and her and I just became close. She was like a big sister. Her grandma died on the show and her and I would just, cause I had lost my dad. So like we had like a very similar loss and we just would sit and have some darts.
Some darts.
And lots of margaritas. And then her and I just became close. And then post show, we were super close too. And we've chatted every once in a while. I think she's gone through some struggles, ups and downs, but we still all talk.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I always thought that about the season of the women that were on my season, Trista, like, you know, you and I have talked a lot about how the guys all got along. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that same way. Like I was kind of weird about it anyway. Like, I was like, guys, please don't, you know, I don't think that, you know, drama back here is going to make anything happen over here, you know, but they didn't need that because they were like that with themselves right away. They were all very confident, very beautiful women. And they all got along great. And so I actually found that to be such an attractive quality in all of them, you know, that they were like that. Yeah.
Right.
Aw, we were a good cast. And still to this day, we're on this Facebook thread and we just joke around and we're like, we still need a reunion because it would be so much fun.
I agree. I know. I've been trying to get that for a while.
I don't know if you guys, I feel like they just put so many women against each other on The Bachelor now that it's
And men now too.
Yeah.
I would actually say the men, it feels like the men are worse than the women, frankly. Like when you watch The Bachelorette now, I feel like those guys come in for blood. And it's like, I do agree with you guys. It does seem like the women definitely are a lot more aggressive with each other, but the guys, it is crazy. I mean, we were such good friends on your show. It was like, and I felt that way about so many of the girls on my show too. So it was like, you know, I liked it better in that regard. I think that it's naturally going to create some stuff, but you know.
I just wish it wasn't like going after each other and your character and that sort of thing. Like there's always going to be drama in some way, shape or form when you put that many people together and they're, you know, vying for the attention of one person. But I just feel like I would love for it to not be so yucky to watch, you know, like just makes me feel yucky.
And you feel like I'm a parent.
Sorry. Yeah. Exactly. And I can't because it's the train wreck, you know, that you want to watch. Yeah. And I feel kind of maternal towards these people. And I'm like, well, why are you saying this about your sister? You know?
Well, Kelly Jo, so now you obviously you have a family. Tell us about everything you're doing.
I live in Canada with a super hot Canadian and have a
professional hockey player.
Used to be. He's just old and grizzled now. So
he, stop it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll still take him.
He's a good looking dude.
You know that.
Yeah.
But so I have two wonderful girls, 15 and 13, in the thick of teen years. Trista, I'm sure you know.
Oh, yeah. But, right there with you. Yep.
Yeah.
We're at the same ages. We're almost. Are you older boy, younger girl?
I have two girls.
She's two girls.
Oh, you have two girls. Yes. So we're almost 15 in July and 13. I'm like literally right in it with you. And I don't know if your girls play hockey, but my son plays hockey. So
Yes. My youngest plays hockey. She's a little
stud.
Oh,
that's amazing. So,
and my oldest plays volleyball like I did. And she's way taller than I ever was. So I'm living vicariously through her. So it's good. I get to go back to the States. As I said, my best friend's getting married. So I get to go to Chicago next week, which will be so fun. And I get to see my mom who's in Florida and I haven't seen her in ages. So things are good. I've been very, very blessed since The Bachelor.
Well, please tell your mom I said hi. It's been a long time since I've gotten to see her. That was such a fun time visiting with your family in Chicago. I remember it very fondly. So
I think all of the girls in my family like jumped on you.
They did. It was awesome.
I think like, you know how they do like the running hug that they do now on dates.
Yes,
I think my family did that to Bob.
Oh, we need to pull that up, guys.
Yeah, even my grandma
listening to this, we need that.
Oh yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so wait. So how long did Kelly Jo last? You lasted to
Kelly
the
Jo
end.
Kelly Jo was to the very end. Yeah, it was Kelly Jo and Estella were the final two. In fact, much was made of Kelly Jo and I are holding hands like this And I say, you know, however, and Kelly Jo goes.
Yes. The however. I got the butt. I got a butt.
Uh-huh. Oh, she, my, I mean, and then I was like, can I walk you to the car? And she's like, fine. She did not care if I walked her to the car. She's like, yeah, if that's what you want to do. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, it was pretty awesome. Very, you know, very Kelly Jo fashion though. It was like, you know, okay, all right. You made your bed. See you, buddy. You know, and I thought that was, I mean, looking back at it 20 years later, I'm like, well done. Good play.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It led to your life. Like, I always think, thank God for Alex Michelle and that he did not choose me, because I would never have gone on to meet Ryan. So I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, we're both doing pretty well. It's all meant to be.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Agreed. And it's great that we get to still remain friends. I mean, that's what's so nice about it so many years later, you know? So it was awesome having you on. Thank you for joining us in the midst of your hair treatment.
Don't worry, I'll send you guys a post so you don't think I'm as scary as I am right now.
Yeah, send us an after photo.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh, that was awesome.
Isn't she funny? I love that she comes on with her. With the tinfoil in her hair. That's so good. I love it. But you know, it's so fun. I mean, so Kelly Jo and I reconnected years later through my wife, actually.
Really?
Yeah, so Canyon had opened a facility in Vegas with her company that she worked with in L.A., Miami, New York, and all this stuff. And Kelly Jo had reached out to me, I forget if it was like through Facebook or something, and was just like, you know, I know you're still doing all this kind of entertainment stuff. You know, do you have any, you know, friends that could do this or this? So I called my wife, and I'm like, could you help me with this? Because I wouldn't know who to call. And my wife would set it up, and it was really fun, and Kelly Jo was really awesome about it. She's like, thank you so much. I'm like, well, you actually have to thank my wife. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's so cool. You know? And
I love that.
So it's kind of one of those things, you know, it's really nice to have these people in your life that you have this kind of long history with, and you pick up 10, 15 years later and, you know, you can just be like, yeah, wasn't that an awesome time in our lives? You know, oh, I see you have such a beautiful family and kids. It's so great. It's not weird. It's not, you know, awkward. No. It's just nice. And I think that's got to come from the advice that Trista gave me, actually, when I was going to be the bachelor. And this was something I took very seriously, where you were like, you know, just be honest, just be as forthcoming as you can. And so I tried, you know, even when it didn't work out, you know, so great, I tried to be like, hey, look, this is it. You know, I hope it's okay. You know, and obviously it didn't work out for me on The Bachelor the way that it worked out for you on The Bachelorette, but still an awesome experience and a lot of fun and clearly a lot of lifelong friendships that have come out of it, which have been pretty amazing.
Yeah. Including you for me, Bob. Nice again, person. This was so much fun. Love it. And I hope that all of you out there are enjoying listening. I know Ashley and Ben cannot be replaced, but we hope that we're just a little, you know, extra in your day.
A different wrinkle. And don't use the word wrinkle, you know, about my face.
Not with a 50-year-old woman, almost. Yeah, let's not talk about wrinkles.
Almost a 51-year-old man. Oh, my Lord. But yeah, I feel every inch of it. In fact, you know, I was going to say, I mentioned this the other day texting with you, but I was thinking about, like, where my life was and where your life was when we were on these shows, which is 20 years ago this year, I guess, and where they are today. And, you know, I always teasingly say that, you know, Trista gets ready for her time on the radio with her glam squad, doing her hair and makeup and getting her all done.
Right.
You know, but our lives are so, it's so interesting because I'll still run into people and they, you know, what are you doing at the Kroger? I'm like, guys who handed out flowers 20 years ago still need to eat chicken. You know, it happens. I need some cereal, you know, or whatever it might be. So it's kind of funny. So I would love for us to kind of talk a little bit about that on our next show too, because I do think it's a lot of fun.
It.
What did I say on the thing?
OG IG. Versus IG. Yeah.
There you go. OG versus IG. Yeah. Real life versus Instagram, which I will
versus
be the first
our real
one to tell.
Life.
Our real life
versus real life. I mean, I think that Ashley and Ben actually do a really good job of talking about this. Like, Ashley shows up feeding the baby, you know, like Ben's got, you know, the dog barking in the background, whatever. I think that they're really good at showing everyone real life. Yeah. So I love, I'm all about talking about reality the reality away from reality TV.
There you go.
Maybe next episode, maybe two episodes. We'll see. You have to tune in to see.
When we come back with the Almost Famous podcast, the OGs. Thank you, Trista.
Thanks, Bob. See you guys later.
Bye, guys.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What keeps baby's skin healthy? A diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. That's why Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better versus the leading value brand, and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection to keep your baby's skin healthy and dry. Pampers Swaddlers are dermatologist approved by the Skin Health Alliance. They're hypoallergenic and they're free of parabens and latex. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. Free and Gentle cleans better without risk of tearing. It's made from 100% plant-based cloth that grips the mess and is 5 times stronger. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.